Well, Father, we just thank you so much for where you've got us all, Lord. We're just going to be content to be where we are. Lord, we know that better times are coming, better places are coming. And Father, we ask for your anointing upon us tonight. We ask, Father, that your hand be upon every one of us. We ask, Lord, that we speak the things that you've given us this past weekend, Lord. And let it be an awesome time with you. Let it be an awesome time with each other, Lord. And I thank you for all that's accomplished tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? I think I've got some more stuff here. What is today? This is the 11th, 10th, 11th. Yeah, I think it's 11th. Works for me. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? I'd like to, myself, I'd like to pray for Bruce. If you know, we've been praying for him here recently, and he's stepping out in faith and believing God for his healing. He's getting all kinds of action from his family, but I'm talking about Barbara's Bruce. And so, Father, I just lift up Bruce to you. Lord, I thank you for putting that faith in him, and enduring faith to believe, Lord. And I know when it looks the worst, that's when your healing comes, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to hold out for you, Lord. He's going to be praising you, Lord. He's going to be thanking you, Lord, for his healing. And I thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in him. I thank you, Lord, that he is healed. In the name of Jesus. And that cancer is gone. And his appetite's returned. He doesn't have any more trouble whatsoever in any capacity. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We command color back into his body. Right kind of color. And we thank you that the jaundice is gone. There's no more. And we thank you, Lord, that his stomach is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. I believe it. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Willie, go ahead, brother.
I have a prayer request for your nephew. You know, the Lord brought something up. You know, your grandson, one of the twins. Mm-hmm. That the Lord brought up to me, and I got a praise report. The praise report was, thank God, you know, he had to show it to me. He showed me a root of bitterness, and I thought, you know, some time ago, you know, there was something that was said to me. You know, it brought up a root of bitterness, like I started falling back into that, you know, thing that I had with church, is that, you know, and, you know, the Lord showed it to me, you know, he said, but he did it, the way he did it, I was just praying, you know, a little while ago, and he took away that root of bitterness, you know. With the study here, and I didn't know that it was a root of bitterness. I thought it was an attack. Like, I thought it was something trying to attack me to separate me, you know, or to get me to speak evil, you know, of UBM or stuff like that, or people who show up on the study. And I didn't notice that, you know, it was a root of bitterness. And when the Lord showed it to me, you know, I was like, wow, you know, that was in my heart, you know, because I started becoming defensive over what somebody said to me. And that was my way of protecting myself. Well, if something's wrong about the group, I gotta, you know, close a couple of doors, defend and protect myself, you know. And usually roots of bitterness come in from, you know, something that someone might say to you, and you might take it wrong, or you don't understand completely what they're saying, or, you know, they have a root of bitterness against another person. You know, and this thing jumped on me, and I thought it was, you know, an attack at first. And, you know, the Lord was showing me, you know, he wanted to teach me the fear of the Lord, to use it as part of the fear of the Lord, to teach me his fear, and to over, it just was overcome. I didn't see it until the Lord started talking to me about the fear of the Lord, you know. And I ended up overcoming it. I thought it was awesome, you know. And I wasn't really thinking about your grandson. But the thought just came in, you know, pray for him to receive the fear of the Lord. And I thought, I didn't pray. You know, I thought, you know, I should tell you about that. Because I can only tell you as it came. You know, I don't got no huge revelation about it. But that's it concerning the prayer request. But yeah, that root of bitterness tried to attack me. And I thought I was, you know, defending myself in a way. It's hard to explain. Sometimes you feel like you got to defend yourself against people or against, and that's how it came in. Someone said something to me, I went into defensive mode. And I didn't understand that actually was, you know, a root of bitterness. Mm-hmm. Because total submission to the Lord, you know, isn't, you know, there's no lie in it. You know, you can't have, that's the best way I can put it. Total submission to the Lord. There's no lie present. You know, there's no, I'm trying to say it the best way I can. I can only feel it, you know. And I'm trying to express how it feels. But he was showing me, you know, you can't serve me, you know, with a root of bitterness. You can't be submitted to me with a root of bitterness, you know. And it's because, you know, something was said to me that I went up in a defensive mode. And I was so used to defending myself, but when I defended myself against denominations, a root of bitterness came against them. And then that same root of bitterness, when someone spoke, you know, to me, I went into defensive mode, and then that root of bitterness rose up in me. It followed me for days. Like, it just slowly followed me. You can't trust what people say. You can't trust what everyone's. You can't, you know, you can't. And it was like that. It was, you know, you got to be, you know, it was this untrusting, defensive, combative root. You know, it came at me with just this, you know, separate yourself, kind of lock yourself into an area and don't let anybody in. You know, look for signs and, you know, look for wrong and be careful. And it was very sneaky, but it was using the same, you know, root of bitterness I had with denominations. But in my mind, I thought I'm just being careful, you know. But not this, you know, that's what I was thinking. You know, because I was still learning submitting to the Lord, you know. So I didn't want anything to be like interfere with that submission, you know. Because if something is true about this, it can interfere with me learning surrender, this surrenderance I've just learned from the Lord. And then the Lord began, he used all of it, though, to teach me that I did not have the fear of the Lord. And I found it really interesting. And when he taught me that, that's when your grandson came into my mind out of nowhere. I wasn't thinking about him. And it says, you know, just tell, you know, it about him, just praying for him about receiving the fear of the Lord. There's power in the fear of the Lord, you know, power to recover, power to strengthen, you know, into holiness, you know, power to be separate from sin and to, you know, seek God with all your heart. There's something about fear that has to be part of surrender. You can't have, you know, surrenderance to God without fear. You know, fear creates a sanctified balance. You know, not a balance between God and the world, but humility and servitude, you know, where you are not interfering with the operation of the Spirit. And so this is as far as he's been taking me, but I've been, that's all I've got to say. Unless, you know, anybody else can add to what I'm trying to say, I, you know, I'm trying to speak to the way I'm, how I felt, you know. Now for everybody, you know.
Willie, you have I want to just let you know that you have described Blake to the T. That's the way he is. You can sit him down and you can talk with him. But the very moment that you, you know, I don't even go that route anymore. But it, the moment you start telling, you know, well, Blake, here's what you need to do. You know, here's what I think you ought to do, you know, that defensive wall comes up almost immediately. And I've learned the only way to talk with him is to pray. And to, we pray together before we even start talking, if he's straight. And then just give him the word of God, you know, start talking the word of God. You can't speak to people with rejection, severe rejection. And that's what you're describing is rejection, when every time that somebody comes against them, they got to fight. They got to, you know, I've got to justify my existence. You know, I got to justify why I did that. And so that what you said about the fear of the Lord, I had started out praying that for him, and I have lacked doing it here in the last week or so, but I see the Lord is telling me to go ahead and keep on doing that, pray the fear of the Lord upon him. It's going to take God to change him, and it's not going to take anything that I can do. I've already tried everything that I could do and have failed miserably. And so I've told my whole family, you know, look, I've given that boy to the Lord. I've laid him on the altar. I'm not interfering. If y'all got something, you know, you want to do, that's up to y'all. But I'm just believing God, because he's the only one that can change him. He's the only one that can save him. He's the only one that can bring him into that place that he showed me that Blake was supposed to be in. God's the only one that can do it. I can't do it. My family back home can't do it. It's only God. The justice system can't do it. It's only God that can do it. And I finally realized that you need to just step back and let the Lord do it. And by our prayers, like you're talking about, pray the fear of the Lord upon Blake. Pray that God would use him, but would humble him first and take all of that mess out of him. And he's got him in a pretty weak place right now. He's got him in a jail cell, and he can't move. They won't let him out. You know, he can't. He's coming off the drug. So you know, people back home, you know what? We got to do something. We got to da 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 da. I said no, just step back and leave him alone. Let the Lord do it this time. And I appreciate your word there because that gives me a basis of what to pray from now on. You know, just pray and keep praying and thanking God that the fear of the Lord is going to be put upon him in a way that will humble him and bring him in a mighty way into the kingdom. And I appreciate it, brother. Anybody else? I think Sue fixing to say something.
Okay. Well, since you did, you know, I was just moving on the couch, but I can understand, you know, I had dealt with rejection in the past, and it is hard to for somebody to be able to speak to one in that situation, because people that have dealt with rejection want to be accepted so bad that they want to be pleasing to people. They want to be accepted, that and when somebody says you need to do this and you need to do that, then they feel like they've failed, that but the thing that I had to learn was that Everybody feels it's the flesh, it's the self, you know. We're trying to do it by ourselves, and we can't do it by ourselves. And when we start to, you know, if we got to get our eyes off ourselves and onto the Lord, then the Lord can work in us. But we have to recognize that he loves us. All that we're going through is because he loves us. And we have to recognize that the self, the flesh, profits nothing. It cannot do anything. We have to have Christ to help us to do what he wants us to do. It's nothing in ourselves that we can do it. And until Blake gets to that realization that he's not rejected by God. God is wanting to receive him so much. But he's got to recognize that he can't do it. And it's just like everybody else. Everybody else can't do it. It has to be Christ in us and through us that does it. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, I had to get to that place. I always want to do better. I want to do better. Well, that's not what it's all about. It's because I can't do better. and it's okay, because that part has to die. So. Anyway, that's all I got.
Amen. Amen. Yep, it's someone with that spirit of rejection. It's really, once they get so far away, it's really hard to talk to them. Unless you're real loving and kind and can get them to a place where they will listen. But God does a lot better job than we can, so I just throw him out to the Lord. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you all this. See,
ours, huh?
I
put the thing on. You don't
want to. Sue.
Yeah.
Do you want me to mute you?
I was trying to get the mute off. Sorry.
Okay. I guess I know what you're talking about. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I just given him to the Lord, and I've been backing off. So I was then praying for him. That's the best thing we can do for anybody like that. Anybody else got a prayer request, a testimony, a praise report?
Amen. Can I pray?
Well, yeah, sure you can. Absolutely. Where's your video? Your video went off.
Yeah, I don't know why. What, something.
Because you hit the button, I guess.
I don't know. Anyway,
see down there, it says stop video. There you go. Okay. Judy's a techie in that house. I can
tell. Yeah, she's the techie.
Okay. Go ahead.
You know, because I had that battle in my life, my daughter has had that battle too. And the very same thing that Blake was guilty of is the same thing that, and I was guilty of that too, about anybody saying something, the defense goes up. You know, I've seen that in my daughter too. And so I'd like to pray for both Blake and my daughter.
Okay.
Well, Lord, I just, and anybody else that's dealing with this, Lord, I just lift them up to you, my Tanya and Blake. And I pray, Father God, you know how many times I have tried to help her as well. And it's not been very fruitful. But I recognize that it has to be out of your hand and not mine. I know I've had to back away with her, Lord. And I just pray, Father God, that you give us the strength and the rest and peace, knowing that our relatives, you know, especially like Tanya and Blake, that give us that peace that they are in your hand, and they will accomplish. You will be able to accomplish your will when we get out of the way, which I had to do. And I thank you, Father God, that you're going to keep us from wanting to get in the way, knowing that you know what's best for these ones to be able to come to where they need to come. And you, Lord God, I just pray, Father, for you to just cover them with a hedge of protection, Tommy and Blake, and that no evil befall them. I pray, Father God, that you would just cover them so that the enemy cannot use them against themselves or anybody else, Lord. Just protect them and help them to see that you are there for them, that you love them, and they don't have to defend themselves, but they just have to turn to you and recognize, really, truly, Father, show them in their hearts and their minds that it's not by our flesh that we will be able to do anything, and we can't do anything apart from you, because that's what your word says, and that's so true. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, help them to get the realization of this, that it's not, you're not against them, that you love them, and everything that you're trying to reach them and touch them with is because of your love for them. And so, Lord, I just pray that they would come to know the truth and be set free, that it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, Lord, that they are delivered from the works of the enemy. We break the power of all the evil spirits that have hindered that evil spirit of rejection. It has to go from them. In the name of Jesus, that evil spirit that wants to keep them defending themselves when they have to die to self.
Yes, Lord.
And thank you, Father God, for your word is true, and your angels go forth and send it to them in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And Father, just to go along with what Sue prayed, Lord, I ask and I pray that you put the fear of God on them.
Yes.
In a way that their fear of God would be more overpowering than the fear of man. And Father, I thank you for that. Yes. I thank you, Lord, that you are doing that now, even as we speak.
Amen.
And I praise you, Father, for I don't know where you have to take either one of them.
Right.
But wherever it is, you know it, and I ask that you take them there in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in both of them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Okay. Go ahead, Wade. Go ahead, Wade. You got to unmute yourself.
Yes. Over the weekend, I found myself, my thoughts getting more rapid. And I was wondering why. And then when I thought about it, there was three or four names of people who I visualized. And I had bad thoughts about them. And I said, where is this coming from? And it's from the, what is it? The respect of people? Well, anyways, when I started casting it out and looking at it from a better view, it all went away, and I got peace of mind. And I was just wanting to say that, you know, if something's uneasy, there's usually a reason for it, and that's what I went through. you know, my thoughts were uneasy, and it was because I was holding thoughts against a few people that live around here or in the group.
Amen. So, praise God. Thank you, Lord. You got peace, didn't you, brother?
Got peace.
Okay. Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Barbara, is it? Do we need to pray for Bruce or you or anything? I'm asking because we had prayed for Bruce earlier here, and we're just believing with him, with both of you, that Bruce is healed. Okay.
I'm sorry. I was on the phone. I'm sorry, my daughter called in. I was on the phone, and I heard you say my name. I said, oh, he's calling me. You prayed for Bruce. Thank you. Yeah, I got to be careful what I say. You know, watch what I say. But, he's healed. You know, we can't go on what we see. And I did send a text to Missy and for her to pray and, you know, and I can see the Lord really showing him and me too, showing us, you know, not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. And he's getting him not to be double-minded. And I read something to him today out of David's book on Delivered from Dark Powers, where that one chapter where it said Satan's big guns was, you know, about anxiety and fear. And something in there I read to him really helped him. And it was like a light bulb went on. So it was good that, you know, I do see the Lord. He's shown him, you know, how to walk this out and everything. And we just can't, we can't walk by sight what we see, you know, because we go by what we see. It don't look good, but we got to walk by faith. And that's what the Lord's teaching both of us. But thank you for your prayers. I appreciate it. He's not here right now. He went to his son's, but.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, we.
I'm not sure I even heard what you said. I just heard you call my name. I was on the phone with my daughter. What did you say?
I said, how's the weather up there? No. No, I told you. I just told you that we had prayed for Bruce this morning.
Yeah, okay,
thank you. Prayer meeting, and because Missy had texted me that to lift Bruce up, and so we did, and we just believe he's healed, don't you?
Yeah.
It sounds like he's getting this message of faith now, and that's great, man. That is awesome.
Yeah, the Lord's really walking him through, and he's walking me through, too, because, you know, I'm learning through all this myself. I'm learning how to stay in the rest, get in the rest, and stay in the rest.
Amen.
You know? And I guess not to be double-minded, too. I don't really know what double-minded is. I mean, as soon as a thought comes, I say, no, you can't think like that. So that's not double-minded, is it? Or is it?
I didn't really hear what you said.
Well, you know, when a doubt comes in your mind,
it's well, you cast like it that. Down. It's not
yeah, double-minded. Yeah, that's what I mean. I do that. So that's not double-minded, is it?
That's casting down them vain old thoughts that comes up there on your mind sometimes. Okay. You cast them down and say, nope, I ain't believing that. God said he's healed. Bless God, he's healed.
Yeah, that's what I tell myself, yep.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, and that thing Willie spoke on last week on pain. I played that segment back for Bruce, and had him listen to that because I thought it was really good, Willie, what you were saying about pain. And he had a surprised look on his face, but, you know, it was a good little segment there. So, yeah. So, thanks.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for giving Barbara stamina to endure in the Word, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that she is standing in faith for Bruce and helping Bruce along. And we thank you, Lord, that you are doing a mighty work in Bruce, in Jesus' name, Lord. Not only are you healing him, Lord, you're maturing him in you, Lord. You're teaching him what it is to be abiding in Christ and not to be double-minded. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, Barbara.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
Okay.
God bless you all.
You too. We're with you, girl. And him. All right, anybody else? Anybody else got any testimonies or praise reports? Everybody listen to the broadcast Sunday? Got some wonderful thing fixing to happen. Hey, Joe.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, George.
Don't know exactly what's prompting me because I don't really have this situation too much in my own family, but I do have a grandmother who's experiencing quite a bit of dementia, and I feel like maybe the Lord wants us to pray to, you know, I feel like we need to fill in the ranks, not only with unsaved loved ones calling them in, but there's such a wealth of older people whose minds have been blocked by the enemy. There's the dementia and the chemical spray and the introduction of so many heavy metals into our diets and things that it's like an onslaught of, I don't know exactly what to call it, but you think about all the people who are taken out mentally before their time, and they're just a shell of their former self when they should be in the most powerful time of their life, being able to intercede for their loved ones and call them in. You think about the old grannies who were always just gathering in, or all the children in, and you don't, you know, we're missing that in the body of Christ. I feel like that there's a wealth of love and outpouring of sincere crying out that the enemy is blocking these minds. And I don't feel like we need to stand for that anymore. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind and discipline. And I feel like we need to stand on that word for anybody we know that's supposed to be in the battle with us. And we've taken it for granted that they're not going to be coming back to join with us in that battle, but they are. They're coming back, and God's going to do miracles. We're going to see miracles. We need to expect miracles and be available to touch and pray and believe for anybody that you know that needs to have mental clarity, so that when they come back, they're going to come back and be the enemy's worst nightmare, in Jesus' name.
Amen. You want to lead us in prayer on that, George? Because I can tell you, there's a lot of people that are experiencing that. Even loss of memory, you know.
Yeah.
Father,
I just say to all of those blockages, every neural impasse, everything that's been damaged, to come out in Jesus' name right now. I speak light to the darkness. I speak healing to all of those brains and nervous systems. Father, I thank you for joy that you're repairing, you're restoring what the cankerworm and the palmer worm has eaten. You're returning sevenfold what the enemy has stolen, Lord, that you're making things better than they were before, that you are restoring, renewing our minds. And Father, there's a renewed love for the word that these people, that's what's going to unlock the healing for these people. is that the word of God is going to wash through their minds, and that water of the washing of the water of the word is going to cleanse and wash out every foul thing and every foul spirit that's trying to hold on to these minds. Lord, I speak confusion to the enemy. I speak fogginess. I speak just inability to focus to the same spirits that are trying to put this on the body of Christ. Father, whatever they're doing to these body of Christ members, it's coming back on them tenfold right now in the name of Jesus. And the enemy's camp is in total disarray. The enemy is in total confusion. They don't even know who they are anymore. And I thank you, Lord, that the body of Christ knows exactly who it is. And we hear the voice of the good shepherd, and a stranger's voice we will not follow. And Father, I thank you for breakthrough, that you are the breaker. And I speak that breaker anointing that's breaking out and helping the sheep get back into the sheepfold so that we can follow the voice of the good shepherd. Father, I thank you that we have a powerful warrior God, and he is jealous for his people, and he has put up with this long enough, and he's calling us to be faithful to not put up with it either. And Father, we have eyes of faith that see our loved ones free in the name of Jesus, and will not speak a curse against any loved one or ourselves. We'll watch our tongues. Lord, I ask you to put a watch over our tongues, that we'll not speak against our own brains and our own minds, but that we will claim by faith that we are being renewed and strengthened every day. And from the inner man, our spirit man is strengthening our physical bodies in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. There is nothing that can keep us back from victory, that we are holding on to your word, and your Holy Spirit is reminding us of every good word that's ever been sown into our hearts. We're not going to lose one single word, Lord, but it's all coming back to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God, praise God. Set me on fire. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I'll just ditto everything that George says and consider it done in Jesus' name. How about y'all? Praise God. You know what? That was such a prayer that needed to be prayed, George. I may have Robin transcribe that and put it on the blog, because a lot of people are experiencing that same problem. I'm talking about here in the fellowship too. I know that God's going to cleanse us too because of our faith praying against that demon. And we're going to see the enemy confused now instead of God's people. Amen. Thank you, George. You don't mind if I do that, do you, bud?
No, I don't belong to myself.
Good answer. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Okay. What y'all want to do now? Yeah, Joe, go ahead. I'm sorry. I almost forgot about you till you raised your hand there.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to—I do understand a little bit of it, but in John 4, verse 24, can you explain a little bit more what you understand, if you don't mind, Michael?
Okay. What? Give me that verse again. John what?
4, verse 24.
Okay. The New Testament. Yeah, go ahead. Ask the question again.
What do you understand? I understand a little bit about God is a spirit, And by that worshiping, but worshiping spirit and truth. What I do understand is that you must be born again. You must be living. You must see the things around you spiritually. And the truth is Jesus is how you walk. It's according to the word. Could you elaborate a little bit more, if you don't mind?
If I can, I will. Yeah. Put my thoughts together here a little bit. When the Lord tells us that we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth, you understand that the New Testament covenant that we have with the Lord is all spiritual.
Yeah.
And it's not by the letter, it's not by the law. And when what the word says is the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life. Well, what he's talking about is your spiritual eyes are open as a born-again Christian. And then you're baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And the Lord gives the Holy Spirit to you to explain the Word of God to you. He says, allow no man to teach you the Word of God but the Holy Spirit. And what he means by that is someone that is full of the Holy Spirit that teaches spiritually speaking things like David. You know, there's a lot of things that when I came to UBM, I didn't understand in the Word. I knew they were there. But as David put them together for us, I could understand what he's talking about. Spiritually speaking, those things in the Old Testament are spiritual. Type in a shadow for the New Testament church of God, churches, you know, and also in the New Testament, if you read like when Jesus said, if lest you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you know, people take that and they go stupid, you know, what are you talking about? That's the Lord is wanting us to see the spiritual aspects of everything that Jesus said. And I'm going to open it up for you. I want somebody else to help out here with this spiritual New Testament covenant that we have. Now, one at a time. I'm trying to think of a good book.
I tried to take a word like the word kingdom. Okay, for instance, a little game I play. I look it up in the dictionary, and I get one definition. And then you get anywhere you see the word kingdom in the New Testament, it's going to be different from the dictionary. And for instance, Jesus had to be with the two rich merchants there talking about the kingdom. And he said the kingdom is within you. And when something manifests around you, an answer to prayer, then the kingdom is nigh you. So, you know, you go to the dictionary and you laugh at their definition and you get the oracles of God's definition. It's a little game I have here. I have like 75 words written on a piece of paper. And I tried to find the spiritual definition of these words. And even basic four-letter words, like the word word even, you know, you can get a very different definition from the dictionary. And of course, dictionaries, they have them all different languages. So you want the oracles of God definition from 1 Peter 4:11, I think it is, and it's just like if you got something you want to do, I just pull out my little sheet of paper and look at the words that I have written on there, and you know, sometimes I'll even add a few words. Like I added one the last conference call we had. Where's my little game here? Here it is, and it was mentioned perfection, yeah. And so I added that one to it. And, you know, that's one I have to look up in the Bible. So it's what we actually do all the time when we discuss items here. And now we're discussing this word, spirit, the spirit of the word. And, you know, you have to look through to some of the areas, like in chapter 6 of John and 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the sixth verse there. And actually, there's quite a bit in that whole chapter there, and of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Anyway, it's a hard game to play. Whether you would be able to give the spiritual definition of the word, or just try to describe what it means in your own mind. You're actually trying to play the game with the Lord, not yourself. Anyway, it's a nice way to pass some time.
Yeah, go ahead, Willie. My picture froze up there a little bit.
All right. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I would like to use this. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay. Christ said, my words are spirit and life. You know, once you receive the Holy Spirit, you know, you got that, and the Spirit is teaching you all things, leading you into all truth. Worshiping him in spirit is submitting to that life. The Spirit will teach you something, and it gives you life. You know, where you're worshiping him in spirit after the renewed mind, led by the Holy Spirit. That's the life. You know, it gives you the truth to set you free from what? The carnal mind, that you might walk in the life. You know, a worshiping of God in spirit and in truth is a complete surrendered life to him. He teaches you to surrender your life to him in portions. You know, and that's worshiping him in spirit and in truth with each portion that he gives you. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, you know. So when Jesus said, my words are spirit and life, Jesus says something spiritual. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells you something about Jesus, you know, and it renews your mind. Okay, and that which the Holy Spirit has given you is truth. Now it sets you free so that you can walk in the life of Christ, which worships the Father in spirit and in truth. And so it's not having the fullness of all knowledge of worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth, but it's receiving line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, you know, concerning that which comes from the Spirit, you know, about Christ, you know, that you might walk in that life of Christ, which worships the Father in spirit and truth. You know, the woman said to him, you know, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is, I know that the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. You know, and Christ said, the Spirit will not speak of itself, but it shall take of mine and show it unto you. And so we see that the worshiping the Father in spirit and truth is the life of Christ, which is given to us from the Holy Spirit to walk in. The truth, you know, is to set you free from the carnal mind, you know, to renew the mind so that you can walk in the Christ, so that you can walk in the Christ. which is the surrender, you know, so that you can walk in the Christ in spirit and in truth. You know, he is given to us by the Spirit that we might know the truth, be set free, and walk in his life. You know, it kind of all, when I look at things, it kind of all joins itself together. Like, when you got to look at that part where Jesus says, my words are spirit and life, you know. And so he's telling you right now, the Holy Spirit shall teach you all things and lead you into all truth. And it will give you the life, you know, which worships the Father in spirit and truth, which I am. Because the event he said to that woman, you know, and Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You know, he is the answer of worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. He is the very nature of worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. He is the direct object of worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. But you can't get it without the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is doing all of that. He'll give you the truth that has set you free to renew your mind. Then you walk in the life. And then he'll do it again. He'll show you the truth that will renew your mind and to set you free, and you'll walk in the life. And you'll always be worshiping or subjecting, surrendering your life to God. You know, that's what worship is absolute surrender. You know, you'll be worshiping God in spirit and in truth with your life. You know, and not just saying, oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, amen, holy, holy, holy. It's with your life. But that's all I got to say about it. I thought that was awesome, what the Lord just showed me. But if I'm wrong, somebody let me know.
All right, anyone else? What about 1 Corinthians chapter 2? That's one, wisdom from the Spirit kind of a chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see what he has to say. Maybe we can dissect a little bit here and help us all out. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And in my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, now listen to this, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When you're talking in the Spirit with the Spirit's help and listening to him, and you're speaking to people in the Spirit, you're going to be speaking power. You're going to be speaking wisdom. You're going to be speaking things that are going to affect their life by using the Spirit of God in your daily walk. That's what he's talking about, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world who are coming to naught, coming to nothing. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world hath known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Okay, has anybody got anything they want to talk about in those, what was that, 10 verses? There's a lot there. Talking about the Spirit now. Talking about our spiritual walk with God and our spiritual talk with God.
Brother Michael?
Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Just real quick, I got something else too on that worshiping in spirit and truth, but I can hold that. But what you're talking about, it just reminds me that by having the Holy Spirit, how much power is available to us, that basically there's nothing else more important on the planet than a spirit-filled believer. And that our words that we speak, our thoughts and our actions, our worship, every part of our day is extremely powerful. And that the cunningness of man's words and all the show and the programs, nothing can compare, nothing can hold a candle to just an obedient servant of God who is a son. Or who is becoming a son. And just to be reminded of that, I think, and then those verses, it reminded me of just, I haven't even scratched the surface of what's available. And for us to be born for such a time as this, we have a lot of, much more are they that are with us than they that are with the enemy, that's for sure. That's all I got on that.
Amen. Go ahead, Willie.
Yeah, this was caught my attention. For I determined to know nothing, among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the Lord's been doing that with me at work, I've learned that there's not supposed to be a separation between you and God. All day. And he showed me that, when there is I'm just going to speak on what he's been doing with me. The way he's been working on surrender with me, my mind has been completely, on God. He'll use a day to show me where I mess up so I can repent, And he did that all day. And my mind stayed on God. And then he showed me where I spoke wrong and I would repent. And all this is part of worshiping him in spirit and truth and walking in the spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. He would tell me, you shouldn't use your words that way, because he began to show me how important my words are, He says, an absolute submitted mouth, watch your conversation with fear, And he's been doing that to me. He's teaching me how to watch my mouth, watch my behavior, And you wouldn't think, it's like you want to get to the pinnacle of walking in spirit and truth. But submission is the pinnacle of walking in spirit and in truth, And it's like, I want to be at that awesome point of walking in, submission, And this is what he's been teaching me, You need to submit with your mouth. You need to repent. You need to, and he's just been, I haven't gone without him all day today. You know, he's just been with me for days, all day, talking to me, teaching me, showing me my words, you know, teaching me about the effect of my words, you know. And I wish I could speak about it more clear, but, you know, verse 2 says it all about what he's been doing with me. He wants me to know nothing, you know, of myself, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, and I just found, you know, he's just been doing a lot of work with me, a lot of work, you know. And I've just found it wonderful, you know. The Lord did some correcting to me today about a music stand. You know, there was this music stand at work, you know, that I coveted after it was brought in and some guy donated it. And I was like, oh my God, a music stand, you know. I could put my iPad on it, you know. I could look, that's what I really wanted it for. And the Lord began to teach me about my covetous heart because I began to lie. Oh, I could put this, my music sheets on top of there. And I was trying to get my boss to give it to me. And so I can use it when I play my music. And, you know, I was coveting this thing. Every day I came in, it was about that. I looked at this coveted music stand. But what did God do? You know, he taught me about my covetousness, you know, and he taught me, you know, about leavening relationships you have with people by not being honest with them. They might not know, you know, what's in your heart, but you're going to see, you're going to see what happens down the road when you're not honest with somebody. You know, and the Lord told me, you're going to have to take that music stand back. You're going to have to go and confess to her, you know, what was really in your heart. And you're going to have to ask for her forgiveness. And I was like, no! I finally got the music stand and I got to take it back. But the Lord was dealing with my heart. He was. Christ is the only thing that matters. And you just gave an awful representation of the Christ. Awful. You know, and the only way to repair it is to go and repent and ask for forgiveness for what I did. And not ask her for it. You know, don't even look to have the music stand back. You know, don't premeditate if she's going to give it back to you. You just need to bring it back and confess what you did. And it's stuff like that. You know, it's been blowing my mind, like mind-blowing things. I know they seem so simple, but they're not, because, you know, God is with me all day long. And that's what I've always wanted. Just to know that he's there all day long. And now I see how he's there all day long. I don't take repentance as rejection anymore. You know, I used to take it as rejection. And so it was very hard for me to accept being in Christ. I just felt I had to walk with him or walk around him. Because every time I did something wrong, I took it as, you know, rejecting him. And it hit me as rejection, you know, not knowing that God was trying to, you know, make me walk in spirit and in truth. I didn't notice it. I would repent, but I would repent with sorrow and rejection and, you know, failure, you know, and just like, I just won't get it right kind of mindset, you know. But yeah, I don't know how I got on that. But okay, let me stop talking.
No, that was good, really. That's good. That's helping people. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Sue.
I was just pondering on that, you know, that scripture that says about worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And a lot of times, you know, when you first start out with that scripture, you think worship him in song, you know, because I'm used to singing and stuff. So and that's part of it. You know, you praise and worship, you know, that's part of it, but there's a deeper meaning that I get from that, that our worship to the Lord is our life. What is our life portraying? If it's portraying him, then that's, then we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. If we're portraying him, portraying him by what we say and what we do, you know, how our heart attitude is, what kind of, what are we showing? Are we showing Christ to others, you know, and recognize, and are they recognizing the Christ in us? You know, it doesn't matter. As years ago, there was this one time where we had some praise and worship. We were in worship real strong. And some people were, the pastor, he said, I want you all to bow down. And I was just holding on to the Lord. I was just, you know, I was standing there and I just wanted to hold on to him. And I didn't want to be, so I didn't really bow down, but in the same token, I felt like my heart was bowed down. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, and I didn't want to be rebellious or anything, but I, in my heart, you know, we could bow down outwardly as worship to him. We can sing and worship him by song. But if our heart's not in it, that's not worship. If our heart's not in it, kneeling on the floor, that's not worship. Our heart has to be with it. And I look at that as our worshiping him in spirit and in truth by the word, by what the word says. And are we following the word? Are we living the word? That's how we worship him. That's what I'm seeing, that, you know, anyway.
Oh, that's good, sir. Okay, anyone else? At verse 3 there, you know, what he did verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's a good one to remember, to look at the Jesus in everybody you meet, you know. That's walking in the spirit, that's seeing the spirit, the good in everybody. It don't make any difference how vile they are. They got something good in them, maybe. I don't know, you know. I remember a story that Hagin taught about this bully in town, you know, that everybody just hated, you know. He was just a bully. But there was one guy that was just never spoke bad about anybody. Never spoke bad about anybody. Taught them a lesson. And they were all talking about this bully. And they said, and then they asked this boy, he said, well, what do you think about it? You know, what do you think about the bully? He said, he thought a minute. Said he's got pretty eyes, got pretty blue eyes, and then turned around and walked off. That's the kind of attitude that God wants us to have, you know. But you know what we want to do? We want to get in there and say, hey, I can tell you about that bully, you know. But God wants us to be spiritually in everything. See Jesus everywhere. And it says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. When we fail, God is with us. When we're at our weakest, God is with us. When we do something we know was stupid and against God, and we just, oh my word, and we feel like we're lost. I don't know about y'all, but I've done that before, you know, and I've misstepped or whatever you want to call it. You know, you can call it some kind of good name, kind of gloss it over a little bit, but it was sin. And you come back and you say, Lord, and you feel like you've been separated from God. You know, he's fixing to reprobate you and you're gone. You're out of here, you know. But then you understand that the grace of God is a whole lot bigger than what we think, you know. And so we understand. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He's with you all the time. He's with you every step that you take. Amen. I just believe that. I believe every time we misstep, and I'll just call it that. I ain't going to say that we want to sin. It's just something that our flesh does sometimes, you know. Can I tell you a little story of what happened to me the other day? I'll tell you a little dream, a dream I had. And I'm telling you this not to be funny, but to show you where you think you are. A lot of times you may not be, you know. Me and David was going up this mountain in a truck, okay? This mountain was a solid rock mountain, and it had a road carved out of it going up like that right there. And David was driving. He was driving, booking down through there, and we was headed up that mountain. I was in the rider's seat over there. And I saw up there, and all of a sudden, David passed out. And he still had his hand on the steering wheel, and he still had his foot on the accelerator. And the road was narrow, and we're doing like this, going like this up. And up ahead, the end of the road, nothing up there but a solid rock. I'm thinking, I got to get his hand off that steering wheel. I got to get his foot off of that accelerator so we can stop this thing. End of dream. I knew I had to do that or we was lost in the dream. Well, I told David about the dream. I'm thinking, what has he done that we fixing to hit a wall, you know? Because I know I wasn't messed up. My life was right. Now, I just want to let you know, I was just right. David said, well, what do you think about it? I told him, I said, what you been doing? You know how we are. He said, what are you talking about? He said, don't you see what it means? He said, I'm dying. And I'm already dead. I'm fixing to hit Christ up here. I said, yeah, but I'm over here trying to stop you. He said, I know. Think about it. I wasn't dead to flesh. He was dead to the flesh. I wasn't dead to the flesh. God just turns those things around, and he lets you see where you are with him for one reason. And so you turn around and start seeking God and doing the things you're supposed to do rather than the fleshly things, you know. And I tell you that because this, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He can grow us up like that, you know. I thought that was a little analogy of where we think we are sometimes and where we're exactly the opposite of where we're supposed to be. But I was in the same truck. I don't know if that means anything or not. But anyway. But you see, God's with us the whole way. He's with us the whole way. We you know, even though I was stumbling around there trying to stop the truck, I should have been sitting back and resting because I know here we are, man. We've done died to the flesh. We're fixing to go see Jesus. I was just struggling trying to save my flesh. That's all I was trying to do. But God showed me. Now I can turn around and head the other way, can't I? Amen.
Amen, Michael?
Yeah, George?
I got something to add to that. It reminds me that how we're all kind of like a piece of wood in a campfire or something, and we all got a little bark that we got to burn off of. But the closer we get to each other, the more those coals help us, you know, it creates a dynamic fire that burns straight through and we're all just glowing. So when we hitch up together, even coming together here, it's like, even to try to bring forth a word, you talk about trembling, the love and the care that we have to handle the word and not to let our flesh get in the way. We don't. The last thing any of us want to do is give our flesh to one another, but we want to increase the fire. And that comes back to that worshiping in spirit and truth. You know, obviously he's talking about a Samaritan woman who when they first came into the promised land, God designated Mount Gershom or whatever it was as a place where he would, you know, it was a blessed place. And that's what they were holding on to, even though the official worship had moved to Jerusalem. And when Jesus said, you know, there's coming a time when we'll worship in spirit and truth, it meant that all these racial divides and this bickering between the Samaritans and the Jews, all of it, there's the spiritual Jew was about to take preeminence, and they were going to do away with all that other stuff. And there was no preference for flesh, that God had a spiritual people. And that when we take the word worship, you know, there is a connotation of worship that means who we kiss. You know, it's kneeling down and showing worth, something that we value. And it's, you know, there is a part of worship that talks about like what we kiss. And then when the New Testament talks about us greeting one another with a holy kiss, I feel like I got a revelation that God wants us to, you know, he tells us to submit ourselves one to another. And it's like receiving Jesus in one another and looking beyond the outside, but being willing to receive the revelation and the power of God from one another. And to signify that with a holy kiss is just saying that I'm getting beyond, I'm coming in so close that I'm getting beyond what I see. Because when I come in to kiss you, I can't even see you anymore. All I can do is experience the spirit of oneness and unity. So I might be going way off the deep end on that, but I'm enjoying it. God bless y'all.
Amen. I was just thinking that same thing, George, that when we talk about these things, it's gets me all fired up. I don't know about y'all, but it gets me all fired up and gets me back in the rest, so to speak. And it gets me pumped up about Jesus. Now, I don't know about y'all, but it does. I just like George. I enjoy this types of talks that we have about the Lord. Okay, anybody else? Go ahead, Willie. I see you chomping at the bits. That's good, brother. You go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking. And I was like, wow. I never thought about it before, you know. And it's amazing, you know, how disappointing rejection is. You know, God brings us to a place of repentance and we enter into rejection. You know, God brings us into a place of repentance and we enter into rejection. When it tells us to rejoice in everything, you know, and I'm having joy from repenting. You know, I know I did something wrong, you know, but I'm not falling into a place of rejection anymore or self-rejection. It's been turning into joy. Like, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, thanks for showing me that, you know, Father, you know, and he's just been bringing me to the, like this wonderful, you know, surrendering to him. And, you know, he's just capitalizing that with just showing me, you know, the fear of the Lord is, you know, fearing not to be sanctified. Let him sanctify, you know, let him. And that's the one thing he's been teaching me about fear. Fear is a sanctification, you know. And when I didn't realize that when I was repenting, he was sanctifying me. I just took it as, you know, I did something wrong, and then rejection would come in, and then a type of depression, and then more stumbling, you know, and then more repenting and more sorrow and then more fear that God's going to destroy me. And then, you know, I took it all the wrong way, you know, and I went through that for 15 years. 15 15 years, you know, I never knew that there is joy from repenting. I never knew. Never been taught to me in my life. The only thing that's ever been taught to me about repenting was, you need to repent from your sins, you know. Or you gonna go to hell? No. You know, it was always fearful. It was always fearful, you know, for me. When I repented, I would go into fear. Oh, please, God, don't kill me. Oh, please, God. Oh, don't send me to hell, Lord. Oh, I'm lost. Oh, Lord, please don't cast me off, man. Tormenting. For me, repenting was tormenting, you know, because I only saw the worst, you know. But now, you know, God kind of did the reversal with me. He's like, I'm going to teach you how to surrender, you know. And through that, when he started teaching me how to surrender, joy came from repenting. Because it was like, wow, you're teaching me how to surrender more. And I didn't realize, you know, that I lost the rejection. I didn't realize I lost the fear. It was a different type of fear. It was different. I don't know when I lost the fear. But it's not there anymore. I've never thought about that. Wow. All right, I'm done. I just wanted to share that. That's cool, man. Really awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you put into words what a lot of us have experienced over the years that we've been in this walk, you know. That's good, Willie. Thank you so much. Are you learning something, Joe? I am. Amen.
Can I just add what the Lord showed me last couple of days? We did go through a trial, me and Laura, but he says to me, if you go through a trial, just don't see the trial. There's a lot of love with a trial. If it's not love with a trial, but just you've been cast away because I love you, because I need you to grow, then there has to be love with a trial. You come in. Just don't see the trial. Just see love as well with the trial. It's awesome what you showed me about that.
Amen. Go ahead, Willie. Thought you was wanting to say something. Amen. That's right, though. What do you got, Judy? Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking about repentance. It just makes you so much happier because it's like a load's been lifted off of you. And it's kind of like with unforgiveness too. It's the same thing. You just, that load is just off of you and you don't have to think about it. And you just feel so much better. Your mind is just, you're just so much happier. And I was thinking, this isn't repentance, but it made me think of, I used to always worry about money, you know, money went here, money went there. And when I got here and knew that, oh, it's the Lord's money. I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's the Lord's money. So it's kind of that same feeling that just really makes you so happy and carefree, and it's a good feeling.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's being in the rest. In the rest, trusting the Lord. Praise God. Go ahead, Denny. I know you got something to say about that. No? Nothing? Okay. All right, Tim. Need some words of wisdom.
Well, it's a very interesting conversation we're having, and it's really what Willie said about, you know, the repentance and you know, as immature Christians, you're burdened by the realization of your sins condemnation that goes with it, but when you realize that you're growing and not doing that sin anymore, and then the the burden, like Judy was saying, the burden's lifted off of you. It's quite a growing process, I guess, or an enlightening process that it makes being a son of God even very joyous, where in the beginning is a burden. And the more you grow, the more joy there is in there. And so we're really blessed to be called and to work our way towards salvation. It's a wonderful blessing experience that we're all part of as being members of the body. I've really been enjoying the conversation tonight.
Amen. Me too. Okay, Malcolm, you got something you'd like to add, brother?
My mouth is full of thy hid treasures.
Okay.
No, I'm enjoying everything. I was just thinking of what a blessing it is to be able to, you know, listen to people cogitating on these things.
Anything else?
I was thinking about the other morning. I was maybe I won't share that. But it was just I felt like one thing I was reading was both, you know, Luke 10 and Matthew 10 is Jesus Jesus is telling the 12. Commanding them to go out. Luke 10 is when he commands the 70 to go out. Very similar. But the I was reading in the Matthew one, and I was just kind of going on. Jesus talks, and I was thinking, now if I'm reading this, is Jesus only talking specifically to those 12 disciples, or is it? Or is he talking about those who are going to read this later or listen to this later? And he talks about some pretty wild stuff that happens that I don't think happened during the time of those 12 that went out. But I think what that tells me is that the message that Jesus, the commandments that Jesus gave there are applicable to his disciples that he sends out now. And, I think it's good to look for those kinds of things. And then he talks about, he says, there are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, which is about 4 cents, at least the time when the King James that I was reading, at the, maybe 6 cents or whatever. Anyway, it's a small amount. And then he said, but one sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without your father. That's the King James. I don't know. I haven't looked in any other versions recently on that point. But that's pretty significant that not one sparrow falls to the ground without your father. And I've had I've had a couple of animals that have pets that have died recently, and I've been tempted to think I've had this thought that, you know, my faith just isn't up to par. This is really a judgment, and all kinds of other questions that come from that. Well, if that's the case here, then what about other things I might want to be walking in faith for? And, you know, you can just go and go and go down this path of doubt. So as I read that, one sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without your father. And then he says, but ye are of more value than many sparrows. it really hit home that I've been listening to these lies of doubt, and that's not who God is or what He's about. There's natural judgments, yes, that can happen, but we need to be careful that we don't listen to the enemy when these things happen, but to continue looking at Scripture to see God's viewpoint on things. Anyway, it was quite overwhelming at the time, actually. And I know this is outside of what you're discussing right now. It's a different topic. But still walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. So anyway, that really meant a lot to me, that little revelation there. So, Michael, I think you're muted. There you go.
Yeah, I had something in my mouth. Go ahead, Willie. Thank you, Malcolm. I saw it here, Ray.
Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. You know, this goes with everything, man. He sent out the other 70. He's like, you know, I send you out as sheep among wolves. You know, don't worry about your life. I knew sparrows sold for a farthing. I numbered every hair upon your head. You know, they had to fully submit. They had to fully submit in order to be sent out as sheep among wolves. You know, they had to fully submit in order to understand, you know, the value of their life in Christ and how important that is to give it to others. You know, he tells them, don't take this, don't take that. Fully submit. He's telling them, if you're going to do this work, you won't submit. Don't take two purses with you. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. We could die. Submit. You know, what is truly being said? Submit. You know, he's teaching them submission. There are wolves out there. How are we going to come against those wolves? Absolute submission. You know, a lamb is gentle by nature. You know, I want you to be a lamb out there. Are you crazy? There's wolves out there. You know, how do we become lambs among wolves? Absolute surrender. You know. And then he begins to, you know, compare certain things. You know, the sparrow, the hare. And he's telling them, you know, even the value of your life like that to God comes with surrender, absolute surrender. You know, he's counting your every day, your every movement, your every work in Christ. You know, you're not going to, you know, not one hair is going to be missing. You know, not one of your lives shall fall to the ground without my saying. You know. You have to, you know, you got to receive that by surrendering, you know. We, you know, I just find that amazing. We have rejection in ourselves because we don't, you know, we don't surrender. You know, we're trying to surrender to what we think what makes God happy. You know. And then we'll be happy. And then we'll have submitted lives. And then we'll be blessed, you know. And then we'll be able to follow after him. And then we'll be able to abide in him. And then we'll be able to love him. And it's not that way, you know. It's a surrendered life, you know. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Why? Because there's not a lot of, you know, surrendered laborers. They see the wolf and run. They count their lives and they recede from the work. Even Paul said he was abandoned by certain men. after trial came, you know. But that's as far as I'm going to go with it, you know. But I think this lines up with everything we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Even the very dust, you know, this one's different. I would have to read it in Matthew. But yeah, that's all I got to say about it. This is about having a surrendered life. You know, I'm sending you out, you know, without purse, among wolves, you know, to bring forth the gospel of peace, you know, not worrying about what you're eating or what's set before you. All of it. Only a surrendered life can, you know, fulfill the gospel. No, you want to, yeah, I don't want to ramble too much, but that's what I see in it.
All right. Well, it goes right along with living a spiritual life, living the life in the spirit, walking in the spirit, understanding that God is in control, you know. We just listen for his voice and do what he says to do, just like Jesus did. Just listen for that still small, and I, you know, and just like he talks about in here. How many of you know when you start coming into the truth that the church will come against you? You know that. That it talks about right here. It says, and brothers shall deliver up brother to death, and the father his child, and the children shall rise up against parents and cause him to be put to death. You know, they're trying to kill you spiritually speaking. They do. They come against. Well, where did you hear that kind of nonsense? I've never heard that before. Have you read the Bible? You know. Anyway, and that's what happens. You get family members coming against you. You get friends, so-called friends, coming against you. You get preachers coming against you. You get all of that stuff happening to you when you get in the spirit of things and you understand the spiritual aspects of the truth of the gospel. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, that's something you said just kind of clicked on a light bulb above my head, and you said that family members will deliver you to death. And it occurred to me that if we back off or denounce the Lord because of our family members, that would be, you know, the equivalent of putting us to death. And we've got to stay the course. We can't give in to pressures from the outside world. I never really thought of it that way before, but just as you were saying that, it is, you know, kind of a revelation moment there that. There's, you know, another layer to that.
Absolutely. Another way, Tim, is just the opposite. It kills your flesh. You know, when they come against you, your flesh dies too, because you want to do what God wants you to do, and it makes no difference what they say to you. You're going to stay with God. And you don't come back at them strong. You just come back at them and love on them and pray against the deceit that they're under. Yeah, it's both ways. They'll spiritually kill you if you listen to them, or it'll kill your flesh, one or the other. All right, anybody else? You got something there, Sue? Look like he's ready to bust too. Nope. Just to go on in Matthew 10 here, as we're talking about it, this is a spiritual walk as we've been talking about. He says, but when they persecute you in this city, flee into the next, for verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone through the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. What does that mean? Anybody got a word of knowledge on that one? When they persecute you in this city, flee into the next. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone through the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come.
Michael, when I was reading that, of course, this whole passage, there are a lot of questions. But that's the one question I have was that probably was fulfilled in the time of the 12 or the 70.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering about now, because I'm looking for double application through this whole, those two passages.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll find out what it's today.
It seems like it's possible that, of course, on the other hand, there is a text of the gospel we will be sent to the whole world. Of course, it's been 2,000 years, but somehow I get the feeling that some of this really pertains a lot to the end of time, too, with special emphasis. That's just the feeling I'm getting.
Well, let me ask you, when you say the end of time, what are you referring to the times we're in now? Are you talking
right
about
now,
the last day? Okay, I got you.
But I mean, but a lot of this, I mean, part of it is we're not, some of us, or some are not seeing the kind of persecution that Jesus is talking about there, like they are, of course, in places like China, and some Islamic countries. So it's easy, you know, for us to see it in the eyes through our Western American culture, current situation. But of course, we all know that's about to change. But I think it's true. Anybody who you read stories of people who have really gone gangbusters for the Lord, and they're hitting persecution all the time. So. So what do we conclude? If somebody doesn't have persecution, watch out. Oh dear.
Well, let's see what Sunil says here. Sunil says, strangely, we are to expect persecution in Israel, not the non-Christian nation. Well, there are Christians in non-Christian nations that are being persecuted even today. I'm not real sure I understand what you're saying, Sunil. But they're persecuted all over the world. We're even persecuted here to some extent, but not like it's fixing to be. Not like Malcolm was saying, China, Russia even, you know, they say they're a Christian nation, but they're an apostate Christian nation, if that can be said. And it can. They're Coptic Christians, or not Coptic, but Russian Orthodox. It's just like the Roman Catholics. But anyway, what were you saying? Andrew, did you have something you wanted to?
Yeah, I was looking at the verse 19 of Matthew 10. And that has to do with the Spirit also functioning at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the it should correlate with that verse there when he does send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name to remind you of all things. So it's sometimes, you know, these verses, they pop into your head, and that's an answer for you. And sometimes it's an answer that could be for the entire conference call here, you know. And but you know, sometimes I wonder about people, because, you know, do they even know what the covenant is, the new covenant? Do they even teach that in church anymore? You know, do they even tell you where to go to find that in the Bible? You know, so in the New Covenant, in Matthew, in Hebrews 8 there, it says you're not going to need to ask any people any questions because it's all going to be given. It's they're all going to know from the least to the greatest. So, you know, there's some really neat things in there that's going to happen spiritually in the future as you mature, you know, and that's some of the things on collate there. And when you brought that, your words up there in First Corinthians, I was sort of comparing things the eye saw not and the ear heard not and enter not into the heart of man whatsoever things God has prepared for them that love him. You know, here you have the ear and the eye again, and it sort of made me think how that would collate with what it says in about why Jesus speaks in parables in Matthew 13, the eyes and the ears there. And there's a lot of things that pop into your mind that could be a personal thing or could be a thing for everyone to hear. Anyway, that's all I have to say. You're muted.
Oh, I said, go ahead, Malcolm. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Think of how radical this is. I mean, this is some radical stuff. in other words, okay, so you apply this to our current situation. I mean, for one thing, I'm thinking, okay, do you not take a phone? Do you not take extra batteries or kind of, you know, you can get a little battery pack to help your phone through, you know, when you can't get to a plug or something? Do you, so you're not taking money for airfare. You're not raising money for airfare. You're not trying to, I mean, raising money is out. So you don't take extra gas or money for gas. I mean, think about all the ramifications of all this stuff. I've mentioned this before some time ago, and Torben had a bunch of people going out, and this one group decided they're going to do this. They were not going to take money or all this stuff. They're just going to go. They weren't going to try to find a motel room or something. So they just went. And those guys really, the Lord really blessed them, and they got housing and food and everything else. But it's to go out and do that is, that means you got to be walking by faith. I was just thinking in terms of the 12 and the 70, when they went out, how did they practically follow through with those things? Of course, they had a much shorter period of time, but it doesn't matter. It's all the same difference, you know. And, you know, Michael, you've talked about how you and David go driving somewhere, and often David isn't too concerned about where the gas gauge is at. So it's that kind of thing. But this is on the level of commandments of Jesus. So it's really serious stuff. It's just that, why is it, we look at that as kind of optional or an ideal. I'd like to get there, but, you know, I think I'll take a little money right now because I'm not, maybe I want to buy peanuts on the way or something. Yeah, it's pretty radical, and it's a level of a commandment. So,
don't you believe that when God did that, He was telling them to listen, just trust me, trust the Lord, that He's going to do this for you. And of course, they were there with Him in person. They've seen this guy do all kinds of miracles, you know. But here we are, and is God really going to do that? Oh, no. I'm kind of scared, God. But.
Well, the disciples, when they got back, they were just ecstatic. I mean, they absolutely didn't. You didn't hear any reports of the 10 spies or anything coming back. They were so excited.
Yeah. Even the demons were subject to them, they said. Praise God. Yeah. Hey, somebody raise their hand. Is that you, Andrew? Or Willie? Is that you? Yeah, go ahead. One of you. I don't care. Both of you.
What I find interesting about Matthew 10 is that I see the mind of Christ. When you look at it, it says, go not into the way of the Gentiles. You know, what were the Gentiles doing? This is talking about a mind, the Samaritans, double-minded, the Gentiles, hedonistic, you know. He's like, okay, now that you receive the truth, don't turn back, don't become double-minded. You know, that's the Gentiles. Don't turn back. The Samaritans, they worship what? Both Jehovah and also false gods. Double-mindedness. You know, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, how do you find them? By the Spirit. You know, as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, that's the gospel. And then, you know, there's the manifestation of the gospel. You know, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse. Don't make merchandise of the gospel. No, nor script. You know what we do when we start writing our own scripts. You know, we add to the word of God. We take away from the word of God, you know, for your journey. Neither two coats. You're only supposed to have one covering, which is Christ. You know, neither shoes. That's to be walking worldly. Nor staff. What is the staff? The strength of man. Not trusting in your own strength. For the workman is worthy of his meat. Or submission to God, however you want to put it. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, you know, and there abide till you go thence. You know, what Paul did, he went to a certain place, preached the gospel. He inquired through preaching the gospel who is worthy. The worthy one would receive it, and they would stay there and preach until the Holy Spirit moved them on to the next place. And if the house be, you know, and if the house be worthy, let your peace, you know, come upon it. Preach to them the gospel. But if the house be not worthy, let your peace return to you. You know, the servants of God do not strive, you know, don't try to force it upon them, you know. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, that's when they will persecute you. When you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off of your feet. You know, don't let it discourage you, don't let it defile you, you know. But continue in the way of righteousness, because you're going to suffer persecution, you know, but it's going to be a testimony against them that they did not receive the gospel, you know. That's what I see. I mean, I see the mind of Christ in all of this, you know. That's awesome. But that's what I got.
Amen. Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother. Got a little time. We need to unmute.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now.
Okay. I'm new to this. I wanted to share with Andrew about up in Canada or some of the things that were going on. I don't know, maybe you have some insight as well, but I saw two things on YouTube recently. One was where they were really going to silence the Christians, and if you preach the gospel in any way, they're going to consider it hate speech, you know, and they're really, really taking a hard stand against Christians. And then a couple of days ago, I saw they were having protests in Ottawa in the big square where all the government buildings were. It was a good, not a violent one, not like what's going on in France. It wasn't real large, but they were just, I think, beginning. What we were complaining for, one lady had six or seven things she was reading from a paper that they just were passed in Canada when they're going along with the UN program, And basically, you know, Canada's going to lose its sovereignty and going to be part of the UN type thing. No borders. No wall, border walls. They have to accept refugees. She listed about six or seven things, but it was really just stripping the Canadians of who they are, of losing their identity. And then they had another speaker on there from, three speakers. One was from Denmark, and he was sharing with the people there all that had happened over there in Denmark and how it happened in Sweden and how they're losing their countries and how now it's going to happen in Canada because of Trudeau being in there and the government that's in there. But they're beginning to protest, you know, this. But I didn't know if you were aware of or what's going on. You might know more than us about what's going on there. But we prayed for your nation last night at the meeting, and we will continue to pray that, you know, they need to get him out of there and change that whole direction, you know, that the nation's going in. So, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Okay. All right. Did you have a response, Andrew? Or?
I don't really know too much about that, but you know, it sounds like the usual up here anyway. So it's really all over the world. You know, there's some government people there who are trying to look after their particular nations, you know, and they're frowned upon by the other, I guess, liberal-minded people. And, you know, you get all these people from the other nations coming to your nation. It's still not the kingdom of God anyway, no matter what nation they come from anyway. So, it's something, I guess, that they want to pass, you know.
Yeah. Well, what they want to do is destroy the nations so that they can control them easier.
You know, for me to remember the times where we would go and have a nice march for Jesus in front of those same buildings, you know, 20, 30,000 people on the road, you know, where'd they all go, you know, and there's very little of that stuff anywhere now, you know, and that's just sad. It's odd that it doesn't happen, you know, and it something's going to happen. That's just it. You see, someone is going to come in and speak some common sense one day, and these people are going to fall by the wayside. And they're going to, you know, this party went from third place to first place. The Liberals, first time ever, went to third place, and then they became the leading party after the Conservatives were voted out.
Well, was that contrived or was that elected? You know, we had to ask that question.
Yeah, anyway. Well, I'm not too up to date on it anyway. I try to stay away from the news.
Yeah, I understand. Well, we're plumb out of time. I do want to say what Sunil said. I misunderstood what he was talking about a while ago. He said Christians are supposed to be Israel according to the New Testament. Of course, yeah. I see what you're saying now. And then when we're talking about Andrew, what Andrew was saying is that finally we are seeing the beast. By the way, Sunil's in Canada too. I forget what party's from, but somewhere up there. It's all tundra to me. I don't know one from the other. Anyway, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you so much for tonight. It's been very informative, Lord. We thank you for anointing everybody tonight to speak and speak the things that you had us to speak. It's been awesome. I have thoroughly enjoyed it, Father. And that prayer that George spoke and prayed, I give life to it. And I thank you, Father, that that prayer is going to set a lot of folks free. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us the next few days. And I know there's some great things that are happening, some good things that are happening, and some bad things that are happening. But we look to you, Lord. We put our trust in you and not in man. We don't care what happens out here. We know that you've got us. And we just praise you for being with us, abiding in us, and we abiding in you, Lord. And thank you for your truth. Thank you for your awesome salvation experience that you've got us all walking in here, Lord. And just like Willie was talking about earlier, repentance does become joy after a while when we understand what it's for. It's to mature us. And Father, we thank you for that. Be with us. Give us a good night's sleep. And get us ready for the next time we meet again, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. And throw love all over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, y'all. All right, everybody. I think everybody's unmuted. Yeah. All right. God bless y'all.
Good night. God bless.